You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana Show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
According to what are assessed to be... What? That's an Olympic backflip to say we don't know what the heck we got.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
I want to switch gears. So, where's my... here it is. That stupid Trump piece that was from The Guardian about another book that's coming out. And I think it's absolutely hysterical, the statement that Trump just released. So in the piece, I don't know if you guys saw some of this or what. I was reading about this last night. In this piece, they were saying that it was General Milley, you know, the guy who was like, oh, white rage when he was speaking to members of the Senate. And he, I'm just going to read you this statement because this is funny. You can tell Trump like shouted over his desk for someone to take this down. Right. So here's, I'm going to read, it's four graphs. So I wish I could do his voice. Here's the statement. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Despite massive voter fraud and irregularities during the 2020 presidential election scam that we are now seeing play out in very big and important states, I never threatened or spoke about to anyone a coup of our government. So ridiculous. Sorry to inform you, but an election is my form of, quote, coup. And if I was going to do a coup, one of the last people I would want to do it with is General Mark Milley. He got his job only because the world's most overrated general, James Mattis, could not stand him, had no respect for him, and would not recommend him. To me, the fact that Mattis didn't like him, just like Obama didn't like him, and actually fired Milley, was a good thing, not a bad thing. I often act counter to people's advice who I don't respect. This is Trump's this is his statement that he sent out. He writes, in any event, I lost respect for Milley when we walked together to St. John's Church, which was still smoldering from a radical left fire set the day before. Side by side, a walk that has now been proven to be totally appropriate. And the following day, Milley choked like a dog in front of fake news when they told him they thought he should not have been walking with the president, which turned out to be incorrect. He apologized profusely, making it a big story, instead of saying, I am proud to walk with and protect the president of the United States. Had he said that, it would have been all over, no big deal. But I saw at that moment he had no courage or skill, certainly not the type of person I would be talking coup with. I'm not into coups, says Trump's statement. He writes, two graphs left, two short ones. In fact, around the same time, Milley, in a conversation, was an advocate of changing all of the names of our military forts and bases. I realized then, also, he was a much different person than I had hoped. I said to him, quote, spend more time thinking about China and Russia and less time on being politically correct, end quote. But I never, he writes, I never during my administration, never during my administration did Milley display what he's showing now. He was not woke. Actually, I don't believe he ever was. But the way I look at Milley, he's just a better politician than a general, trying to curry favor, that smacked, with the radical left and absolute crazy people espousing a philosophy which will destroy our country.
Seems pretty clear.
Damn. Oh my gosh. So there you go. I also don't like Mark Milley, but you know, I love how he's like, do a coup. I would not do a coup. So that's Trump's statement on that. Okay, so if you're not familiar with the story, there is this, it's a Guardian piece. And there are even leftists that are questioning it, to their credit. Because I think there are some people, there are some leftist analysts that are realizing, oh my gosh, these people have been so partisan for so long. They're ruining our profession and our ability to make money. I mean, didn't you just see that the Atlantic is hurting? All these institutions are in trouble financially because nobody wants to read them. Nobody cares. So there's this Guardian piece and it says, here's the headline. It's by Luke Harding. Kremlin papers appear to show Putin's plot to put Trump in the White House. Exclusive. Documents suggest Russia launched secret multi-agency effort to interfere in U.S. democracy. Now, what have I said all along? I have said, look, if you have evidence, show me. I do not like Putin. I don't care who it is. I will not. I am not a cult of personality type person. I am so anti-authoritarian. I almost cannot even have things that face all the same way on a shelf. It's that bad. It's the opposite of OCD. Is there a thing? I'm pretty sure there is, probably, scientifically. I have it, whatever it is. And yes, I know OCD in the stereotypical form. There's many ways. But I've always said, if there's proof, show us. Because we hate communists. I don't use the term hate very seriously. Hardly ever. It's a very strong emotion. It is a very strong word. Hate is something that, hate is a complete and total absence of any love. It's not love intensified. It is the absence of it. I hate communism. I hate commie tyrants. And hate is not a great enough word to fully capture that sentiment, right? It's working overtime. And so, we always said, show us. You show us the proof. You show us evidence. I'll believe the evidence. I have zero. No one has a problem with this. We love America. Nobody has a problem with this. We love freedom more than anything else. You know, except like, you know, God and our families. Well, I still love freedom. And dogs. I love dogs a lot. Anyway, long story short, you know what I'm saying. So this, and Kane, I just have to point out, because they're saying that these are documents that show Trump. Putin thought he was crazy and wanted him in the White House. I swear, it's almost like do we have another situation where there were documents from the Kremlin that show that were about Trump and how Putin wanted to, what was, oh, when yeah. was that? When,
paid for dossier?
Yeah.
Paid
that's
for
right.
by the DNC?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I mean, this Kremlin papers. First off, can we just not even read the article and stop at the headline for 1 second? Who goes, hey guys, the Kremlin gave me these papers about Trump. I should believe them. It's the Kremlin. They came from the Kremlin. That's where it stops. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? I feel like the actual Conor McGregor gif. When he turns around, he's like, who the is this guy? Who's this guy? Who sits here and goes, oh, hey guys, they got papers from the Kremlin here. Should believe them. The fact that they're passing off Kremlin garbage and running with it, these are leaked Kremlin documents. Oh my gosh, you can feel how proud Luke Harding is of himself in this piece. This is the story. Here's the first graph. You need to know, because they're going to be talking about, you're going to hear this all week, rest of the week and weekend. First graph, let's make fun of it. Vladimir Putin personally authorized a secret spy agency operation to support a mentally unstable Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election during a closed session of Russia's National Security Council, according to what are assessed to be leaked Kremlin documents. What the heck kind of sentence is this? According to what are assessed to be, what? That's an Olympic backflip to say we don't know what the heck we got. Oh my word. That right there should immediately completely undo any discussion about this, but it's not going to, because people are morons. Oh my heavens. That's it's actually amazing. So they really don't know this suggests to me that they don't really trust the source. They can't really actually verify. They can't verify their source. That's what it means to me. I mean, you even have Chris Hayes, who I don't like, saying the sourcing on this is a bit thin and, or at least obscure, but he does the whole, well, whoa, if true. I mean, shut up. The first hurdle should have been these papers from the Kremlin. That's like saying, look at these documents we got from North Korea. They say all of these things that perfectly fit into what we want to hate about Troy. It's amazing. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so the State Department has offered a $10 million bounty for information on foreign hackers targeting critical infrastructure. I feel like I have another calling here, Kane. Seriously, where are all the Gen Zs that love this stuff? Like, there you guys go. State Department said that it will offer rewards, this morning, up to $10 million for information leading to the identification of foreign actors who launched cyber attacks on critical infrastructure. People can contact the State Department's Rewards for Justice program, which I didn't even know existed. Did you know existed? RFJ? Through a secure channel on the Tor browser, this is a statement that they had. They said that the reward is only available for info that actually leads to the identification of people. So that's a fun little thing there. Look at that. Also, I saw this. I didn't get a chance to comment on it. Mel Gibson was at UFC, and he was on camera like saluting Trump when Trump walked by, and everyone was like, "That's not Mel Gibson. There's no way that was Mel Gibson." Mel Gibson was at UFC. Trump was at UFC. UFC's fun to watch. I love UFC, but I really get into, I'm the chick, so my husband loves the fights and I like the athleticism, but I so get into the stories of people. I get emotionally invested in these fighters. And if if it's a bad night, I mean my whole night, I get very into it. Yeah, he was there, and people are trying to give him. I don't think Mel Gibson cares that anybody's trying to give him garbage. He's an imperfect person that came back. I love Robert Downey Jr.'s speech when he implored Hollywood, you know, all you people with the planks in your eye, why don't you come on, let him work. It was that. If you have never seen that, you got to Google that Robert Downey Jr. speech at about Mel Gibson. They were on stage together. It's one of the craziest and awesome things I've ever seen in Hollywood. Federal court, this is huge, has ruled you cannot ban 18 to 20 year olds from buying guns, which is true because it's unconstitutional. It's garbage. If you can go and serve and get issued an M16, and if you can be blown up by an IED, by damn, you can carry a gun in the United States of America, for crying out loud. So that's changing. U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit said those laws are unconstitutional. We're going to watch that case go through the court system. Stick with us. A lot more in store. Everyone knows when applying to jobs, you're lucky if you make it through one application before you're just ready to give up. It takes, on average, 18 minutes to apply to a single job. That's time consuming. Now, with the latter's new Apply For Me service, their expert team will apply to jobs for you. This is a game changer. The latter's is the number one job search site for six-figure jobs. Search thousands of jobs, and the latter's Apply For Me service does all the work of applying to jobs for you. Simply upload your resume and answer one set of questions one time, then click Apply For Me, and the latter's team will fill out all of the forms for you. You'll receive email confirmation when your application is complete, so you can sit back and relax. Plus, with a new Google Chrome extension, Apply For Me works on any job site, corporate career site, and job application page. One click, no hassle, no wasted time. Make those tedious job applications history and start using Ladder's new Apply For Me service today. Visit theladders.com/Dana to sign up. That's theladders.com/Dana. That shark advocates are calling for rebranding violent attacks as interactions. It's a real story. You guys don't believe me. It is an actual real thing. They said these are marine experts and advocates in Australia, and they are urging the public to refrain from using the word attack. Yeah, they don't want people to use the word attack because they say that it's, I guess it's just not nice. I don't know. And so they said that they need to be called interactions. Call them interactions.
Wait, are the shark going to be offended?
I don't know. They said the violent attacks, it says that the majestic predatory fish has been unfairly stigmatized as a deliberate killer. So we need to use more neutral words like interactions or incidents or negative encounters or bites. Sydney Morning Herald has this. So the University of Sydney language researcher says shark attack is a lie. They're merely nips and minor injuries from smaller sharks. Are you kidding me? Can we start calling our car accidents that? Car wrecks? It's a car interaction. It's a car nip. This is so silly.
I find it funny that if you disagree with someone, they will frame it as an attack.
Uh-huh.
Like if you criticize somebody for their policies or for their rhetoric, they're attacking the person. But actual biting someone's leg off?
It's not an attack. It's a nip. It's
just an interaction.
It's just a little nip.
Did the shark write this?
Right. No. That's what it sounds like.
Right? I mean, I reject the deliberate... I reject their rejection of deliberate attacks because they have said that there are some sharks that are aggressive and are very deliberate in that regard. Sometimes, yeah, there a lot of the times there are just accidents and the shark takes a little nip and then, you know, swims away, realizes, oh, this isn't a seal. But at the same time, there are some who are not like that. So, yeah.
And the dictionary definition of interaction is reciprocal action or mm-hmm. influence. Is there really reciprocal action when the shark bites you and you didn't even know it was coming?
I mean, I'm not like actually biting the shark back.
Right.
I mean, they are tasty, but so that's one. That's one goofy story. Here's the other one. Are you ready? Apparently, so they have new emojis coming out. The Emojipedia. They have new emojis coming out. And I was like, do these dudes have beer bellies? What is it? What's up? And apparently, they are pregnant dudes with mustaches.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what Emojipedia has. I mean, you can look and see. Have you seen them? I was thinking, did somebody have too many burritos? What is it? But that's, you can't have a gun one, but you can have that one. Why do we need that? Why is that needed? Do people get actually upset if they look at the emoji thing and they realize that they don't have an emoji that they would like, that they feel represents them? Because you have the saddest life if that's the case. I think there's some other things that, you know, might need to. So apparently September is when the final version of them, of when they're going to be, when it will be released. But I think it's not until October that it goes on, like it, when it comes out in the update. I don't know. What would, I mean, is it dad bod emoji? Is it, somebody called it a pony keg. I've never heard that phrase. Have you guys heard that phrase?
Pony kegs were, remember back in the day, they were just these like, these little balls of filled with beer that you put in your fridge?
No.
It's a little pony keg.
I've never heard of a pony keg. Steve, have you heard of a pony keg? What? Wait, I'm terrified to Google this or to DuckDuckGo it. Excuse me. Oh, they're just little kegs.
Yeah,
those are just baby kegs. Why are they called pony kegs?
Well,
that's stupid. It's
horses.
Just a baby keg. You don't call the big full-size keg a horse keg, right? What's an adult horse called? I don't know. What?
A horse?
No, no, you know what I mean. Shut up. I hate you right now. I don't know why it's called that, but whatever. Or Fat Thor. Someone said Fat Thor. I don't think it looks anything like Fat Thor. So now, I mean, I'm so glad that our Navy is like, we're not ready. China could kick our butts in a naval battle in the Pacific. But we got these emojis, everybody. I hope everybody feels better. We have these. This is great, right? Yay. Everything's good and grand. It's all nice, right? All good. No, it's not. It's awful. Everything sucks. So then you have the American Booksellers Association, who are now, they're actually burning books. The bookseller people are burning books. They came out with a stupid statement where they were talking about Abigail Schreier's book that examined from an academic perspective the trans phenomena with teenagers and kids. And the American Booksellers thing, they sent books out, and apparently that was one of them, and people complained. And they said that they called it a serious violent incident. You sent someone a book. That is not violent. I got sent a book. It's worse than the Civil War. It's literally worse than the Civil War. We're going to make more fun of this. Oh my gosh. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I kept thinking that we were, I was already thinking that we were in, what is that, my Quick Five segment. I was thinking that. All right, so let me pull this up here because I'm, oh man, I'm like all into that censorship story right now. All into it. This is... I can't talk about that one. Oh, man. This Florida man strips $100,000 worth of fixtures from a historic mansion, and according to Tampa Bay, and it's called the Kellogg Mansion. And he, when he was in, got in trouble for it, he's like, oh, I thought I was allowed to do this. What? It's a nearly century-old landmark home on Dunedin's Buena Vista Drive. It was they closed it back in June, and the sale closed back in June for $4 million. And they had this long ago filed demolition permit. They were going to knock it down. They've had stalls and starts. So the seller and home buyers, they signed a contract allowing the city to first take a number of fixtures and things, statues and other pieces that owners there are worth at least $100,000. And so preservationists were even considering moving it to a new property. But the thing is, it was owned by the guy who made cornflakes. W.K. Kellogg, yeah. And so the city could auction salvaged items to fund the history museum and future preservation products or projects. But then all of a sudden, when the new owner arrived, they found it stripped of all the stuff that was promised to the city. The wrought iron door frames, the chandeliers, the statues and fountains. There was a 1,500-pound sculpture of a Greek god. The cage door was gone from the old elevator. And they were like, wait a minute, why, furniture and personal items could be removed, but the fixtures had to stay. Well, they found out that there was a Florida guy, Tampa Bay Salvage, went in and said, oh, well, we're heartbroken. We just thought we were allowed to do this. I was going to donate everything to the museum. Sure. Were you, though? Sure. So they had to spend, they spent $10,000 on labor and machinery to get stuff off the product. He's like, he goes, I've been made to fight to have the right to give a gift. Wait a minute, though. That's the city didn't contract you out, though, to do this. So, and it turned out this one Florida woman spit on a flight passenger after the passenger demanded that she wear a mask. Maybe everyone can mind their own business. This is ABC7 that reported this of Sarasota. The girl totally was escorted off the plane. Maybe also everyone mind their own business. And if you're that terrified, don't fly.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.